I'm still amazed that people who claim to know God do not know Him as the Scriptures declare Him. I'm amazed by it. I often wonder if people are reading their Bibles, or are they just trusting and listening to what preachers and others who don't know God tell them. And unfortunately, you don't have to talk to people long to discover this sad truth. They just don't know the truth about God, about Christ, and about themselves. Men have made God so dependent upon sinful man that to hear it told, he can't do anything without men and women's permission. Is this not the God that you hear other men talk about? But that's not how the Bible portrays God. You don't have to read very far in the passages of divine inspiration to see that. The religious world has absolutely no problem with the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, they'll tell you, God created the heavens and the earth. But they get angry and they throw a fit when you tell them that He rules, reigns, and controls all things, especially them in the world today. Quite a different matter. Folks will fight you tooth and nail to prove that God does not infringe upon their will. What kind of God would do that, they ask? Well, the answer is plain and simple. The only true God. That's who. In Psalm 115:3 it says, and we quote this all the time, but it's in the Bible. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's the God of the Bible. It's in this book where God's sovereignty is truthfully declared. And a child of God does not want anything less than a sovereign God. That's just a fact. Okay, read Psalm 135 verse 6 with me. And we'll read down through verses 10. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, and He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? Who did? Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants? Who did? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? God did. The only one true God is declared in this book that you hold this morning in your hands, to be the only one who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. God declares things before they're yet done. And He says, my counsel shall stand. No uncertainty in that. No ifs, buts, or maybes. And I will do all my pleasure. That's the God of the Bible. Isaiah 46:10. This is what your Bible says. This is what my Bible says. Obviously, men and women, now here's the truth of the matter, would rather believe what others tell them than to read for themselves their Bibles and believe what God says about Himself. Naturally smart. I'm talking about just naturally smart and intelligent folks say stupid things. They say stupid things because they don't have any knowledge of this book. They don't read the Bible. And they hear men preach that obviously don't read it. But they say things like God wants to. Let go and let God. God is trying. God is willing. God is willing but not able unless you give Him your heart. Let God have His way. Give Jesus a chance. Here's one that really gets me. Make Jesus Lord. A little late for that. This blessed book declares that God made Christ Lord long before we ever came along. Religious people will say, well, now what they mean there is that make Him Lord over your life. He is Lord over your life. He's Lord over your life whether you bow to Him or not. That's the God of the Bible. People don't read the Bible. Men and women better start reading their Bibles. God declares in Jeremiah 32:27, he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything?" And I repeat, is there anything too hard for me? Well, to hear men speak, there is. But to hear God speak through his word, there's not. There's nothing too hard for God Almighty. Natural men and women think they're in control of things, when in all reality, they're in control of nothing. We're not in control of anything. Nothing. We're nobodies. Would you like for me to show you that in the Bible? Let me read that familiar passage in Daniel 4:35. I don't want you to turn there. "And all the inhabitants of the earth," that includes you, me, and everybody else, "all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." That's what the Bible says. Well, brother, I think you're taking that too far. I'm reading what the Bible says. They're reputed as nothing. "And he," God, "doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none," there's not one, "that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" Now, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to rebel against it, or are we going to bow to it? Do those who endeavor to be little God, do they read their Bible? Do they see these things and just ignore them? Or do they really have no fear of God? Are they really interested in God's divine truth? That's what King David said in Psalm 36:1, and it's the same thing that the Apostle Paul echoed in Romans 3:18. He said, "There's no fear of God before their eyes." No fear of God. And that's not all. He says plenty more about them before that. He said, "They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Why, their throat is an open sepulcher." That's a grave. "And with their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." I don't much appreciate you saying that about me. I didn't. God did. And he said it out of his word. You better read your Bible. Men better read their Bibles. "The way of peace they have not known." Men don't know peace because they don't know Christ. And they don't know Christ because they don't know God's word. And God uses the foolishness of preaching from this word to save those that believe. And we wonder why religion is rampant today, why people are just absolutely ignorant about the things of God and his righteousness. Our Lord said this. He said, "Search the scriptures." Now, he's talking to the Pharisees, the most religious, studied, educated religious people of the time. He said, "Search the scriptures." He said, "For in them you think you have eternal life." There's a lot of folks today that do read the scriptures. And in searching them, they think they have eternal life. But there's one thing that they don't see. And our Lord said, "They are they which testify of me." You can search the scriptures and you can think that you're born again and that you have life and that, man, I'm telling you, you're set for heaven. Your name's on the roll. Your mansion's picked out. But unless you see that they are the very thing that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're yet in your sin. Men and women had not only better read their Bibles, but they need to prayerfully read them. They need to get under the sound of a true gospel where a man's telling them the truth about the scriptures. Well, what makes you think you're telling them the truth? Because I'm telling you what this book says. But I love the fact that in Luke 1:37 it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." What a comfort. That's what gives me hope for my loved lost one. That's what gives you hope. As long as God gives them breath, with God it's not impossible for them to yet be saved. It's not too late. But men and women must repent. They got to change their opinion of who God is. They got a wrong conception altogether of who God is. They got to admit, confess, own up to the fact that they've sinned against God and Him only, and done this evil in His sight. And let me tell you something, friends. God is going to be justified when He speaks concerning men and women. and he's going to be clear when he judges. He is not going to by any means clear the guilty, and he's not by any means going to condemn the innocent. We're all guilty. What are we going to do? We're going to have to find a substitute. We're going to have to find somebody to stand in our place that will appease God's eternal wrath and judgment. And there's none on this earth who have an acceptable excuse. Not a one. Now sin, you know, that's a little word. We use it so flippantly. But sin is the reason for this pompous unbelief. Sin is why men and women are in the ignorant state that they're in. And I don't mean to use ignorant as a degrading term. It just means the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Don't know the truth. And unless God gives fallen and unregenerate men and women eyes to see what Scripture declares them to be, they'll never see it. But it's the Word of God that declares to me what I am. Now, most of my life, I knew I had problems, but I never really knew why I did. This book told me. This book showed me why I was the way I was. Sin's what we are. We sin because we're sinners. Sin. And it's the Word of God that showed me what I am. I'm only going to give you a few. I'm not going to have you look them up. You know them. Most of you know them by heart. Genesis 6:5. And every imagination of the thought of my heart was only evil continually. I saw in Psalm 51:5 that I was shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. In Psalm 58, I saw that I was wicked from the womb. Before I was even born, wicked. And I went astray as soon as I was born, speaking lies. Comes natural. That's sin. This book shown me that all my righteousness, I thought it was righteousness, it was self-righteousness, is filthy rags. Filthy rags. This book showed me out of Jeremiah 17 that my heart is deceitful above all things. Now, I've seen and met a lot of deceitful people. Experienced them. I've had dealings with them. But God showed me that my heart is the most deceitful thing of all. Deceitful above all things, it says. All things. And all things means all things. And it's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. It's the Word of God that shows me what I am. Men and women better start reading their Bibles. They better start reading. It's the Word of God that declares that salvation's of the Lord. People aren't reading their Bibles or they'd see that. There's a whole lot of folks out there that don't believe salvation's of the Lord. These precious, God-honoring, Christ-exalting truths that come from God's Word have to do with God's way of saving sinners, not man's. Upon what ground will a holy and just God receive sinners into His fellowship? Sinners are only received in knowing and trusting Christ. The only way. This book teaches that and declares that. What actually satisfies God's justice and gains God's favor for a sinner? It's all found in these inspired pages. Only the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, paying the sin debt of death. That's what the wages of sin is, death. Is that not right? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's in the Bible. Romans 5:8. Men and women better start reading their Bibles. The answers to these questions will be settled as all eternal issues are. They're settled by the standard of God's glory revealed in Christ. They're seen in this book. This is the only way that God can be just and justify the ungodly. The Holy Scriptures identify the Christ whom God the Father sent to save a people. We've seen it over and over. Christ came in the world to save sinners. That's what this book says. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Your Bible says that, and so does mine. The Holy Scriptures identify Christ. They tell us plainly that God sent Him to save a people chosen before the foundation of the world. And the Bible distinguishes the true Christ from all counterfeits. Only one Christ, one gospel, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one God, one gospel. They remove all grounds of boasting on the sinner's part. I hear people boast all the time about salvation. I have decided to follow Jesus. I made a decision. I made Jesus Lord. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. That's not what the Bible teaches. You better read your Bible. It shows how God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. He saves whom He wills, how He wills, when He wills, and He saves them in the substitution of His beloved Son, whom He sent to live, die, and resurrect in our place. According what? To the Scriptures. You better read the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach how man by nature is a totally depraved sinner in need of free, sovereign grace. Not just a mere possibility of being saved if we meet certain conditions. That's what men tell people. Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, now, if you do this and don't do that, and you make a decision, you exercise your free will, where is it? It's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How are you going to get by that? Salvation is not a mere possibility of being saved if a man meets certain conditions. All commandments for sinners to seek the Lord and find salvation are in this book. They're based upon the perfection of God's redemptive character and Christ's substitutionary work. And that's on every page if God would give us eyes to see. This book reveals God's election. God elected and chose a people before the world ever was. And He gave them all to Christ, and not one will be lost. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I won't lose a one. I'll raise every one of them up the last day. That's what the Bible says. Men and women better read their Bibles. People better start prayerfully reading the Scriptures. They're sitting on the coffee table. They better dust them off every now and again and read it. That would be my recommendation. There's nothing in any individual sinner, according to this book, nothing outside of God Himself. Now listen, that influenced God's choice of sinners unto salvation. Gary, you didn't do a thing to influence God to have mercy on you. Nothing. And neither did I. None of you did. God justifies the ungodly, and all whom God elected unto salvation are and were before conversion by nature the children of wrath, even as others. A born-again sinner cannot boast in anything that he has done to make him different. Who maketh thee to differ from another? The Scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 4:7. That's what the Bible says. Who maketh thee to differ? God does. You don't. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What do you have that you've not received? And if you've received it, why do you glory in it as if you did something to deserve it? Child of God won't boast in anything he's done. He knows his character and his conduct falls way short of God's holy standard and merits nothing from God. You know how he knows that? God revealed it to him in the Scriptures. And he knows that because of his own selfish pride, his own self-love, his own self-righteousness, that he would have never chosen God unless God had chosen him. We love him because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The reason God chose one sinner and not another is known only to God. But men hate that and they claim that it's not fair. God has clearly revealed that all who hear the gospel should believe on Christ. Christ alone, seeing all the conditions for the salvation of sinners, has been fully met in Him and Him alone. Isn't that who you're putting your trust in? You've seen before that you didn't see that. We put our trust in the church. We put our trust in our decision. We put our trust in our free will. But we don't put it in Christ. But a child of God does. God has clearly revealed that all who hear the gospel should believe on Christ, seeing that He's not just made salvation possible. All who hear the gospel are commanded to believe. All who hear the gospel are forbidden to believe anything else. The unbelief of many, even the majority, will not make God's promises non-effectual. God's elect will hear and believe God's gospel. They shall be made willing to be saved based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 110:3, it says, in the day of His power. Whose power? God's power. And the day of God's power is when the elect of God hear and believe the certainty of the salvation in the person and the work of Christ as revealed in the gospel that's found in this book. They're brought to see that they're justified by the blood of Christ, solely based upon the imputation of His perfect righteousness. When God now looks at me, He sees a perfectly righteous man. You know why? Because I'm in Christ. Yes, I know God freely reasons, God encourages, and God commands all who hear the gospel. Whosoever will, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Whosoever will is whosoever God wills. How could the doctrine of election, God choosing, shut any sinner out of heaven when God Himself commands all who hear the gospel to believe? Sinners shut themselves out by denying God's election of grace and insisting that salvation or some part of it is dependent on them, the sinner. That's how men are shut out. It's not election that shuts them out. If I trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I see from God's Word that He died for sinners and God shows me that's what I am and I say, He died for sinners? There's hope for me. How do I know that I'm an elect of God? Do you believe in Christ? Oh no, we want to put a formula on it. How do I know that I'm God's elect? Do you trust in Him? Is He your all in all? Do you see He paid your sin debt? Christ's finished work, His blood sacrifice, His sinless humanity was the conclusion of His whole work of redemption. This included His incarnation. God became a man, friends. That's the only way you and I are saved. God became a man and did for me and you what we could not do for ourselves. And men want to say, what can I do to be saved? You can't do nothing. God had to come to earth and do it for you. That's what this book teaches. He was obedient unto death. The scriptures say even the death of the cross in Philippians 2. God's entire satisfaction is in the merit of Christ's work of righteousness. And it's called the righteousness of God. You know why? Because that's where it came from. This is the only ground of salvation, and it's revealed in the gospel. Christ's righteousness demands the redemption of all those for whom Christ lived and died. And this is honoring God. And it's consistent with His holy law and justice. It's how God is both just and justified. Christ did not die to make sinners savable. Is that what you believe? Oh, I hope not. You better read this Bible. God did not kill His only beloved Son to make you and I savable and then leave it up to us if we met certain conditions. That'd be salvation by works, not by grace. That's what men say. Well, God looked ahead in time, saw who would believe, and then chose them based on their believing. That's works! He died to save His people from their sins. Christ came in the world to save sinners, and you can be assured that those sinners whom He chose will believe and repent. The certain salvation of God's elect does not remove anyone's responsibility. However, it is the greatest encouragement for all to seek salvation God's way through Christ. That's the only way that man can be saved, that women can be saved. And yet, if a man turns his back on this great salvation, how shall he escape if we neglect so great a salvation found in Christ alone? God removes every obstacle. He provides all the means necessary for our salvation. He made His people one with His Son so that they themselves have now in Christ satisfied His law and divine justice. When God now looks at me, He says, perfect, holy, and righteous. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. It's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. Well, you say that God has an elect, but the scriptures say whosoever will. But the issue is not simply whosoever will. The issue is whosoever will what? For example, Mark 8:34 says, and when He called the people with His disciples, also He said unto them, whosoever will. That's not all He said. He said, whosoever will come after me. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. And follow me. In Revelation 22:17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Neither of these verses say, whosoever will believe what he wants to believe, or whosoever shall think what he wants to think. Each whosoever will is qualified by a command that is directly related to the gospel, and it's found in this book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. The answers to life eternal are in this book.